Okay, let's continue with the lesson. Joel chapter 3, awesome information. And now let's take a look at Luke chapter 23. The key verse is verse 45. But let's look at what Jesus said leading up to it. Now this is after, this is why he was going to the cross. And once he was on the cross, these were the last things that Jesus said before he laid his life down for us. Now, every time the Lord do something, it's well thought out. Look at the architecture of the Holy Spirit here. Look at the engineering of the Holy Spirit, giving him what to say. Jesus always looked to the Father. And he obeyed the will of the Father. If the church ever did that, we would be so much further along. If we could trust the Father like Jesus did and obey the Holy Spirit, receive the guidance of the Holy Spirit with enthusiasm and obey him, just like our Savior did. Now, Jesus did everything he did by faith. He obeyed the Father. He won this battle in the Garden of Gethsemane. He got his will right. He fortified himself in the will of God to do this, to do what I'm about to read. And let's see. We'll go back. We'll start at verse 20. That's a good place to start. Now, sometimes I talk about how the Pharisees and the Sadducees were, and the leaders of Israel, the religious leaders of Israel, they brought him before Pilate. Pilate didn't find anything wrong with him. Pilate sent him to Herod. Herod didn't find anything worthy of death, even as low down as Herod. Even though Herod, I believe the Herod that was king at that point, his father tried to kill everybody to kill Jesus for power, but that man died, and his son is now Herod. I believe it. That's how I think it is. Well, that's how I was taught it. I didn't really do the research, but credible people have taught me that. So whether it was the same Herod or not, that was a Herod that wanted Jesus dead. And then there was a Herod that wanted him dead and had all the children killed. Remember when the wise men came and but this time, this Herod here, whether it was the same Herod or the son of that Herod, verse 15 says, "No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him." So Herod has sent him back to Pilate. Pilate said, "I will therefore chastise him and release him." That's verse 16. Okay, let's skip on down. Well, let's continue. That's a better place. Verse 17 said, "For of necessity he must release one of them at the feast." And they cried out all at once, saying, "Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas." Now this is the people. "For a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder, was cast into prison." Pilate therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them, but they cried, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." This is the crowd now. "And he said unto them the third time, Why? What evil has he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go." Now watch this, verse 23. "And they were instant with loud voices requiring that he might be crucified, and the voices of them and the chief priests prevailed." You see that? The voices of the people and the chief priests prevailed. Remember Jesus said that, "You Pharisees look, search high and low for a proselyte, and you make him two times more the child of hell than you are." If you think the chief priest was bad, wanting the word of God to be killed and out of their sight, the people, they shouted first and louder. The word listed them first. The voices of them and the chief priests prevail. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. Typical politician. But he knew this was not right. And, you know, that's the attitude that people have against Jesus when they love any form of sin. This is the same thing that they end up doing. They become the enemy against God. I've seen it with my eyes time and time again. In the course of my ministry, I run into Cain jealousy. I talked about that so much, I don't even want to talk about it anymore. And it broke my heart because I understood that if anybody that will discredit the messenger, he's not just discrediting the messenger, he's also discrediting Jesus who died for him and the Holy Spirit. See, when Jesus sent his disciples out, he did it guided by God. When the Lord tell me to do something, I'm obeying him. When people resist me because of my age, you know, Paul told Timothy, don't let them despise your youth. I'm doing this in the name of the Lord. I'm doing this with a higher purpose. This is not my imagination. And it's noticeable when something is of God. But I've seen men of God disrespect, reject, and the words of God. For whatever other reason. And I could tell you how I was treated by men of God. So wherever they are sin, this is what sin can do. And the Lord let me walk right into it. And it blew my mind. I didn't expect it. I never expected it. And one time the Lord sent me to a pastor. And he was a friend of mine too. But I said, I got to give him a word. I had to build myself up. I said, okay, here we go. I'll do it. And the Lord spoke to me and said, he's not like those other pastors. I said, oh. And then when I went to the church, I said, Lord, if I type this out like you want me to, I'm going to be late. He said, you're not going to be late. He said, type it up and take it to him now. So I'm at home typing it up. It was after 7 o'clock. I get to the church. Wednesday night Bible class in those days, you know. Now, I was not a member. I was going. I knew that they were having church that night. I went. I obeyed God. I said, well, he said, I'm not going to be late. It's already 7 something, and I'm headed to Bessemer. So I'm going. And when I get there, they were finishing up a business meeting. Then he did a Bible class for a while. And after that class, I gave him the written word. He read it and rejoiced, and gave it to his wife. She read it and rejoiced. Then he pinned it and put it on the board so everybody could read it. Most pastors would ease it into their coat pocket and hide it. They knew it was of God, but they didn't. They did something else. I could tell you all those kind of stories, but it's neither here or there. That's what happened. I wanted their ministries to go forward, but they didn't do what God was. They didn't follow God to his specifications. But if the church ever did, if they ever obeyed Jesus the way Jesus obeyed the Father, if they ever received every word that proceeds out of God's mouth and not just pick out some that they like, the church would be much further along and the people that they minister to would be much stronger. But see, the Lord told me this. Sincerity begets sincerity, while leaven begets leaven. So whatever the pastors do, the congregation is going to do more of it, good or bad. It works both ways, unless they break through and follow Jesus. That's possible too, but most people won't do that. They're going to do what the pastor does. That's what's going to happen. That's more likely to happen than anything else. Now, let's continue on. Verse 25, and he released unto them him that for the sedition and murder was cast into prison. Whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon him, upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country. And on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. Now watch this. Now listen closely. This is what the Savior said. This is what our Lord Jesus said on his way to Golgotha on Mount Moriah. But Jesus turning unto them and said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. Now he had been beaten to unrecognizably, and he's carrying a cross. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bear and the paps which never gave suck. In other words, blessed are the women that never bore children because they're living in a very evil day. Now watch verse 30. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? Continuing verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Now, look at the love of God. This is your Savior talking. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And they didn't. You know, in 1 Corinthians 2, Jesus pointed out if the principalities of the world had known, they wouldn't have crucified Jesus. They didn't know. But see, whenever there's sin in your life, that's going to cause you to be Satan's slave through your desire for that sin. And it will blind you, and it will cause you to not receive the word of God, and it will cause you to ultimately hate God and be an enemy, an adversary against him, just like they were doing. Okay, that's the danger of sin. Sin is not your friend. And preachers act like sin is neither here or there. Well, Chuck Missler said that when the rapture happens, he said a lot of people are not going to be taken. But that's another, you know, I can see that. But I believe the Lord has raised up people that love him. But many people have gone astray. There's a great falling away, sad to say. Now, but if people had held dear the things that the Lord was telling them and trusted him and not pick out what they want and throw away what they don't, but if they had done every word of God, they would be so much further along. All right. He said, all right, let's back up to verse 35. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. Now watch this. And a superscription also was written over him in the letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, this is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other one answered and rebuking him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss. See, God always have a witness. Always. There's a remnant, a witness to somebody that will stand for the Lord. And God loves you too. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He didn't say he was worthy. He didn't say he was righteous. He said, Lord, remember me. I did wrong. This is what I get, but remember me. All right, verse 43. And Jesus said to him, and Jesus said to me, and Jesus said, for all those that love him, verily I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. See, we're going to paradise. We are in the kingdom of God at present time. We're going to be transferred and go to heaven, yes. But the kingdom of God is here now with us. We operate from his kingdom. See, this is the heart of God, verse 43. He said, Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And again, that guy believed on Jesus before Jesus went to preach to those in chains or those in paradise. He believed on, he was the first man to believe. even the prophets that prophesied that he would do all this, they were unclear. Remember that. Jesus went and preached to the captives and they believed. But this man believed while he was on the cross. All right. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. You see that? This was a sunny day. This happened worldwide. Now watch this. The sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. This is communication, folks. If the sun gets darkened, God is doing a judgment. God is destroying our sins. God is preparing to do judgment. He made a statement to all of his creation. Everybody everywhere could see this. You could be in the far reaches of the universe, but the earth's sun was darkened. It hadn't been darkened since the Lord said, let there be light. This is the second time it was darkened. Now, in this verse, it didn't say anything about the stars. But see, the Lord is communicating. This is also referenced in every tribe all over the earth. This day was darkened. And the clouds, clouds don't cover the whole earth. It covers a portion of the earth. I don't know the how much, a third, a half, or it's less than a half. But it's always sunny somewhere and it's always cloudy somewhere. So the places where there were no clouds, it was just as dark as the place where the sky was blue. And it was for 3 hours, there was no light. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he gave up the ghost. Now watch this. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. And remember, the veil in the temple was also torn in half from the bottom up, if I remember it right. Now, no more. See, the holiest of holies is in us. The Holy Spirit lives within us. No need for that veil. Now, let's go back to Genesis. I did all that to show that this is communication. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light. And that was light. God is communicating. He's restoring the earth. He made the earth in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the same thing that happened to our generations caused the earth to be without form and void and darkness upon the face of the deep. There was a society here on earth that rebelled. And we're going to look at that too. See, there are scriptures to prove all of this. This is not make-believe. It's not a theory. It's fact. Okay, and the earth was without form, void, darkness on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now watch this. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. If you were anywhere in the galaxy, in the universe, all the stars, the trillions and trillions of stars and suns that God had made, all the stars are suns somewhere. And most of them have planets around them, if not all. But every society out there, all the suns are off. Nothing but darkness everywhere. Until the Lord says, let there be light. He's communicating to all creation. The war that was started is about to be judged and ended. Now, track with me closely. So, when God said, let there be light. Now, remember, all the stars and all the suns are off. All the suns are off. Our sun is off. If the sun is off, the moon can't shine. Outer space is black. So God said, let there be light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. When we first met God, he was dividing light from darkness. He's bringing order to chaos and destruction. The earth was just devastated. It didn't even look like a planet. It looked like a disaster. And now you can see the disaster that it really was. Void and darkness, desolate, lifeless. Desolate means lifeless. Void of life. Desolate, deserted. Void and desolate. Darkness on the face of the deep. See, those that were the angels that remain righteous, or the people that were righteous, you know, God got them. That's why it was desolate. And what, you know, and it was void of life. Everybody don't fall after Satan. And there's always, God always has a remnant. Now, in Revelation, it says that a third followed Satan. So that's how it went down. But this war is bigger than just the earth. It's in the universe too. It's out in space also. We're going to look at that later too. Now, God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. This is the first day. This is Sunday when this happened. Now, this is Sunday, the first day of the week, of the natural week. The evening and the morning were the first day. These events didn't take, I heard preachers say and people of God say that maybe God did this over a thousand years each time he did. That wouldn't make sense. It defines that every act, the evening and the morning were the first day. So as it is, that's the first day. Okay. Is that plain enough? It's plain enough for me. It's biblical. And remember, the Holy Spirit can't sanction a lie. All right, verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. So God put air between the waters under the firmament, and then there was water above the firmament. The firmament is the sky, and there was water below and above it. Verse 7, and God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And it was so because God told it to do. And that's exactly what happened. When I read that, that puzzled me more than anything. But I have to go with it because that's what it is. It's all right if you get puzzled. It's not the end of the world. Verse 8. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. That's the second day. And he didn't say that was good, because what happened on the third day, he'll explain why. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. I said, Lord, what does this mean? Now, this was way back in the early 90s. I said, what do you mean by that? Let the waters under the heaven, under the firmament, be gathered together under one place. He said, moisture. And then it made sense. The whole earth would have looked like a cloud, but the water was put in one place. Now, if the If the water was put in one place, then the dry land would be also in one place. See, that was one huge continent. It wasn't divided up into pieces yet. That happened in the days of Peleg. And we'll get to that in Genesis 11. Verse 10, and God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. See, this is Tuesday. Tuesday is a good day. Monday was a bad, that was not a pretty day. So he didn't say it was good. But and I thank God for little Jim, my pastor now. He said this, we affectionately call him little Jim because he's actually a big man. He's bigger than me, taller than me. And we called his father Pastor Jim and him little Jim, but he's the pastor now. And I love him. But he pointed this out years ago. And I thank God for him. Verse 10, God called the dry land earth and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. Okay. Verse 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass and the herb yielding seed and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. Now watch this. And the earth brought forth grass and the herb yielding seed after his kind and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. So that's Wednesday. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Now that's a fact. It said that he made what we know as the sun and the moon to rule the day. Remember, in God's house, whatever is serving is ruling. You know, Jesus said, the greatest servant is the greatest among you. Well, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. Now, he made it a long time ago, but on the fourth day, God said, let them be for lights in the, now this is the beginning of the first day, fourth day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament. He turned them on. That's what he did. This is a restoration, not a creation. All right. It's a restoration. Because they were off because of judgment. He just turned them on. Then he's letting us know that he made all this. you get that? It never said in this text right here that he made all this on the fourth day. If you read it carefully and biblically, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And it happened. And then, now verse 16 is a fact. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. This is just a given fact. He did create it, but he created it back in chapter 1. I mean, back in verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It wasn't sitting here dark for all that time. It went dark because of judgment, and he lit it back up. Remember, we were looking at everything, of course, we were looking at the glory of God, which outshines our sun. You would have seen what God was doing from every point in the galaxy, in the whole universe. You would have saw this. Now, when we get to heaven, all this will be proven. I'm just showing you what the Holy Ghost helped me understand and what the Bible says. And he actually made all of this. That's what verse 16 is pointing out. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. Okay. and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide light from the darkness, to give us a reference of what's right and what's wrong, give us example. And God saw that it was good. See, God is communicating to his people. Then it says, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. All right. So this, the sun was not on until the fourth day. The fourth day is Wednesday. Okay. When Jesus came and died for us, he died on a Wednesday. Not only in the week that he died at the at Wednesday evening. The evening and the morning is the first day, or the second day, or the third day. In this case, the evening and the morning were the fourth day. He died the final hours of Wednesday.